A pleasant morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted we have this time to study the Word of God. If you'll be turning to the book of Exodus in the first chapter, we'll begin there in just a moment of time. We want to continue to remember the sick in our prayers. We have many here at O'Neill who are dealing with a lot of issues, a lot of physical ailments, and some who are dealing with some very serious physical ailments. And please continue to pray for them and lift their name up in prayer. We want to remember the family of Brother Grady Blakely and our prayers, and we want to remember them and continue to encourage them any way we can. And we're going to miss Brother Grady, and we're going to continue to try to encourage the family. And we also want to remember to continue to pray for the elders as they make decisions about the souls here. And we want to pray for Brother Guy, and we're thankful for him and Sister Ann, grateful for the good work they do. And I know you're looking forward to hearing Brother Guy preach again, as am I, as he does an outstanding job. And we sure miss hearing Brother Guy proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you take your Bible and look with me in the book of Exodus and the first chapter, I want to read with you verses 12 and 13 to begin our study. Exodus chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. You know, it's important that we go back and study the Old Testament. And in the lessons, we're going to go back to the day when God delivered Israel out of bondage. It was not a pretty picture when they were in bondage because, as we just read, they were slaves to the Egyptian power. And if you take note in Exodus chapter 1, they made them serve with rigor. They were hard on the people. The taskmasters, the slave masters, were hard upon the people of God at that time as they served in slavery in Egypt. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Exodus and the second chapter, you'll find, or Exodus in the first chapter in verse 16, you'll find where they were commanded to kill all male babies. You remember they were told to cast them in the Nile River. This was because Egypt was fearful that the Israelite nation continued to grow and multiply. And they were fearful they would overthrow the Egyptian power. So they said, what you must do is kill all male children. Can you imagine that command going throughout the land? Can you imagine hearing that you, if you had a child and he was a male, you were to cast him into the Nile River? And thus, I think about the fact that at this particular time, the people of God were going through a great adversity. But then if you take your Bible, in the book of Exodus and the second chapter, you'll find at this time a statement made in verse 24. In verse 24, notice that the Bible said, God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Notice the people cried out, and God heard their cry. And so, what is God going to do? God is going to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. You remember in the book of Exodus and the third chapter that God appeared unto Moses. And God told Moses that he is to go and he is to deliver the people out of bondage. Here is God in the burning bush, and here is God talking to Moses, and God is telling him what to do. And we can see in this that God did not want His people to forget Him or what He's done. And can you picture in your mind how Moses felt when he heard the voice of God and saw no one but a burning bush? Moses recognized that God is Almighty. But that brings up something else in our study. Look at the people. After they've been delivered out of bondage, you'll find they come to Mount Sinai. And in the book of Exodus and the 20th chapter, you'll find in Exodus 20, in about verse 18, a statement that is made. When they see the presence of God. In verse 18, the Bible said, Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now then, you see the people at this time, as they are fearful, they see the presence of God. They see the fact that God is revealing Himself upon the mountain. And notice the Bible said the people saw it and trembled and stood afar off. So at this time we recognize the people as they recognized God, they feared God. They had reverence for God. They trembled. And that's so important that they were in awe of the Almighty. But that brings up something else. In your Bible, notice they gave true worship to God. As long as they feared the voice of God, they offered to Him pure worship. Open your Bible to the 95th Psalm. And when you come to the 95th Psalm, notice with me in verse 6. In verse 6, the statement is made, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Notice he said you're to be in reverent to God. You're to be someone who is in awe of God. And notice at this time, the people feared God, and the attitude of the people was they trembled, and they were in awe of the Almighty. But then if you take your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Exodus and the 32nd chapter. And I want you to think about, at this time, you begin to see the people, and their attitude begins to change. In the book of Exodus and the 32nd chapter, you'll find that Moses had gone up top of Mount Sinai, and notice what the people begin to do. In verse 32, when the people in verse 1 saw that Moses delayed from coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said, "Come make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Notice the people had lost their awe for God. They lost their reverence for God. They lost their respect for God. Because they had not heard from Moses, and because they had not seen the things they saw before, they lost their reverence for God. And notice, my friend, they said, "Let us make gods. Let us make gods." And they wanted to form and fashion their own God. And I want you to think about Aaron permits them to do so. He said, "Bring your gold. Bring your earrings, bring all these things." And he said, "I will make you a calf." And notice, he fashioned. Notice in verse 4, he received from the gold their hand and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made this molded calf. They said, "This is your God." Oh, I would that I would get you to understand that here were people who went from fearing God to making a God. They made a false god. They made an image and began to bow down before it. Have you ever thought about, my friend, at that time, how the people had been delivered from bondage? They had been taken out by the hand of God, and how soon they forgot God. How soon they left God out and began to look at this idol that was made and formed by the hand of man. I've often thought about being delivered from bondage did not guarantee that they would not heed the voice of God. But that brings up an important thought. What happened after the golden calf? We first see they lost their awe for God. They no longer held Him in awe. They'd forgotten, as Isaiah had said in Isaiah 6 when he saw the vision of the Lord, he was in awe of God. And the seraphim were saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The people were no longer in awe of God. Secondly, sin was not serious to them. God had said, "Thou shalt not commit idolatry. Thou shalt have no other God before me." But take your Bible and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice if you will, beginning at verse 6. "Now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become adulterers as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Then he said, "Now all these things happened to them as examples." Underscore examples. and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now then, I want you to think about the fact what they did. They were far from the voice of God. Thus far, I've seen several things. First, I've seen the fact God delivered them out of bondage. I see where God gave them a law. I saw that they were in awe of God. But then when Moses went back up on the mountain and was delayed, the people made an image and a false god, and you'll find that they begin to worship that false god. And then we see the consequence of that. They lost their awe for God, and sin was not serious to them. But I'll tell you a third thing. Worship became polluted. Notice in your Bible that they bowed down to this image instead of bowing down to the Almighty. They had to have something to see. They weren't walking by faith. Even though they had seen God's power at the mountain, they no longer worshiped God as they should. And now they're turning from God to a golden calf. Take your Bible and look in the back of Malachi for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Malachi, look in the first chapter. And look at verses 7 and 8. In verses 7 and 8, the divine revelation said in Malachi 1, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you have offered the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" Even in the day of Malachi, the people had lost their awe for God and were not giving God their best. They were giving God the sick, the lame of the flock. And God said, "You wouldn't take that to your governor. You would give him better than what you're giving me." And notice that's what happened in the days of Moses. When Moses was up on the mountain, the people had lost their awe for God. They'd lost the seriousness of sin. And notice, my friend, worship was polluted. They weren't worshiping the Almighty God. They weren't bowing down to the God of heaven, but they were bowing down before a false god. They were bowing down to the golden calf. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson journey. I think that we will find exactly what is wrong in our society by looking at the picture of the Old Testament. The first thing I want us to think about is today you find a lot of people who've forgotten the voice of God. They have forgotten to heed the Word of God. Now, God doesn't speak to us like He did through Moses. God speaks to us through His Word today. Take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter and the first chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the first chapter, notice that the Bible says in verse 1, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Now, my friend, we hear today through the Word of God. We hear the voice of the Son as He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has revealed the truth to us. But have you ever thought about how many today recall when you first heard the gospel message and it touched your heart? How you feared God, how you reverenced God, how you recognized the Almighty, and many felt this in their lives and turned to God. But you know what I see a lot of today? People who do not have a healthy respect and reverence and awe for God. We have, somewhere along the lines, lost the greatness of God. We've lost how wonderful and majestic He is. And you'll find that there are a lot of people today that they come together and they say that they're going to worship God, but they do not do it by His authority. They do it their way. They do it the way that there's no biblical example or authority for, but they say they're doing it to His name, but they're really doing it for self. Because if you don't do it according to the pattern, then you're not doing it to please God. And what's happened in our day? We've gone from the voice of God to the golden calf. we live in such prosperous times that even through this pandemic, we are more prosperous than most countries in the world. And I thought about how in our nation, so many people have bowed down to the golden calf. Oh, they'll give lip service to God, but God is not first in their life. God is not the one who they're dedicated to. They may be dedicated to their job or their family, and they may be dedicated to their recreation. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things. We don't love our family. The Bible clearly and plainly teaches that. But God comes before family. And we're all to work and make a living. The Bible commands that we provide for our own, but we're not to love our job more than God. And it's okay to enjoy recreation. It's good to relax and get away. But we're not to enjoy that more than God. God comes first. And I'll tell you something. What's happening in our day is people have turned from God to the golden calf. People no longer heed the voice of God. People no longer listen to His authority. People just make up their own rules, do their own thing, and they mock God. But I'll tell you something else. One of the saddest things is to see that people have lost their all for God. You can find about everything with the people of God, but you'll find very little awe for God. Reverence, respect. I'll tell you something, my friend. I'll tell you what bothers me is when I hear people just take the name of God in vain. They just go about and they do not reverence His name. And I'll tell you something, my beloved friend, God's name is holy. And we need to reverence that name, respect that name. So many people just use God's name in such a flippant manner. They don't see how majestic He is. They've gone from God to the golden calf. But that brings up something else. In our day, we've minimized sin. Most of the time when sin is mentioned, it's called an illness. But you know, the Bible doesn't call it that. The Bible says transgression is lawlessness. Lawlessness is sin. Sin is contrary to God's will. And what we need to understand is Jesus didn't come to die for a disease. He came to pay the price for sin. He died to redeem us from sin. Some people just think, well, if I call it a disease, that justifies it. Oh, no, my friend. We need to call it what it is. It is sin. It's violation of God's will. And in our day and time, so often we minimize sin. We justify it. We laugh at it. We act like it's okay. And I'll tell you something, my friend. What we're doing is we're not bowing before God. We're bowing before the golden calf. But that brings up something else. Our worship. How is our worship designed? It's designed to praise the God of heaven. It's not about man. Sometimes I'm fearful that we get so caught up in how our singing sounds, we forget that we're doing it to praise God. Now, I enjoy good singing. I understand we're to admonish one another in song. But I'll tell you something. Ultimately, as we sing to one another, to encourage one another, the ultimate thing we need to understand is the singing is to praise God. That God is looking upon our hearts. And our worship is to praise Him. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter, look at what the Bible says in verses 28 and 29. He said, therefore, since we receive in a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Underscore, reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, when we worship God, that is of the utmost seriousness. It is of the utmost importance. Whatever we do all week, the most important thing we do is when we worship God. And I want to know how much reverence do we have today? How much respect do we have for God? Could it be that we've left the voice of God and we're now bowing before a golden calf? But I'll tell you something, my friend. What you bow before determines what you love. And what you bow before determines what your God truly is. Is it the God of heaven or is it a golden calf? God or the golden calf. But I'll tell you, my friend, it determines our future, who we bow before. My prayer is that we heed the voice of God. Let us get back to having reverence and awe for the God of heaven. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for this day, and we're so thankful for your majesty, your gloriousness, your wonderfulness, Father. You are so majestic. You are so worthy of praise. And Father, we pray that you help us to be in awe of you and not to bow before the golden calf, but to bow before you, giving you glory and praise, honoring you, loving you, respecting you, reverencing you because of who you are. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins through Jesus and through obedience to your word. Thank you, God, for allowing us to repent when we fall short. And Father, may we never minimize sin, but see the seriousness of it and confess our sin. And if we've never had put on Christ in baptism, if there's anyone who's never obeyed your gospel, that they'll do so their sins will be blotted out. Oh God, help us to heed your voice, to listen to your word, to follow your will, that we may glorify you all the days of our life and be able to glorify you throughout eternity. This we pray in Jesus' name.